Happy Easter to you this morning. It's so great to see you. I thank the Lord that you chose to worship with us at River City Baptist Church today. I know many of you have a friend or a family member that goes to our church. Thank you for coming and being a part of this special day. It is not just a formality. We genuinely believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And every year, the church celebrates it. The weekend changes, but the facts don't change. Jesus Christ is alive from the dead. And that truth that I want to share with you this morning is absolutely the most significant and powerful thing that you could ever learn in your life. And it has a very specific message as it relates to you, your future, and your eternity. And I pray as we open up God's word today and as we look at it together for a few moments that you will open up your heart and that you will allow the Lord to speak to you. He definitely brought you here today for this message and song, the message through the word, and I really just pray it will just change your life as it has so many people. And the past, in the Bible, certainly historically, even maybe somebody you know that's right here in the room with you, that they God's done something in their life, and they've been very active to tell you about God and tell you about church, and that's because something's going on in their heart, something real and genuine. And so I want you to take your Bible to Revelation chapter 20, and I'll get there in just a moment, but while you're turning there, I want everybody to know, in the seat back pocket in front of you, there's a card that looks like this, says, "We're glad you're here," and we are glad that you are here. It's a very simple little form on the back. I know we have a lot of guests today, and we want to encourage you with a welcome gift. You may have not got it on your way in because there's a lot of people crowding in here today, but if you wouldn't mind just taking one of these and fill out as much information as you're comfortable sharing, tell us how we can pray for you, tell us a little bit about yourself. And just right in the back here, in the back of the auditorium, there's a Next Steps booth. If you just bring that back to our friends that are back there after the service, they'll be glad to receive this from you. And they've got a gift for you that we want you to have. And so I hope you'll do that. Let us know that you were here, how we can help you and your family. And if the Lord put any decision in your heart today, you can also indicate that on this card. And we'll be looking forward to meeting you after the service. For sake of all of our church members that know, you may think, what in the world are we doing talking about the book of Revelation? Isn't that some weird, crazy, you know, out there, end of the world, apocalyptic thing that's going on? Well, yeah, it kind of is, okay? But I've been preaching through the book. We're in chapter 20, okay? Now, this is how the Lord works. We're in chapter 20, and I was thinking to myself, surely I'm going to not be able to speak on Revelation on Easter, right? Everybody's expecting something completely different. But I got reading through the passages that are coming for today, and I thought to myself, wow, I couldn't believe how many times the word resurrection was mentioned in Revelation chapter 20. And that's why we're here, right? We're here to talk about the resurrection. And so I'm going to read just one verse today. We'll read the whole chapter next week for our church family. But just one verse I want to read for you today. It's in Revelation chapter 20, and I'll be speaking predominantly from verse number 6. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. It's on the screen. You can follow along with me. But Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6 says this: "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Amen. This is God's word. Now, I want to preach to you on one phrase that I see in this verse that I want to encourage you about. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a historical, actual, spiritual, biblical fact. But there is one primary thing that it has an effect on you with. And I want to speak on these words from verse number 6. Death has no power. Now, I want you to think about that. Death can be the most frightening, worrisome thing that anybody ever has to face or fear. But I am telling you from the Bible that God's word tells us that for those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, death has no power at all. I don't know about you, but whatever this is about, I want to know what this means. You know, in 2018, the world lost probably the most famous preacher in American history. He was 99 years old. He was known as America's preacher. For nearly 70 or 80 years, he crisscrossed the world, telling the message of Jesus Christ to untold millions of people. His name was Billy Graham. There's virtually nobody in America that doesn't know who Billy Graham is or was. I mean, his influence over our country, over our world, is staggering. The week that Billy Graham died, the most quoted quote of his preaching, all the hundreds of sermons and thousands of places that he preached, the most famous quote that was literally shared every 15 seconds on social media the week that he died is this: "Someday you will read that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am now. I will just have changed my address. I will have gone into the presence of the Lord." Now that is what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1 when he says, "Absent in the body is present with the Lord." He says, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." He says, "And I struggle sometimes with what I want to choose." He said, "I know I should be here to serve you, but watch this, to depart and to be with Christ is far better." Now these men and women, people maybe that you've known in your life that have faced death and faced it well, I want you to know no one faces the certainty of death with hope like someone who knows Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Isn't this what David said in Psalm 23 and verse 4? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy will dwell with me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The promise to people that know God, the promise to people that have accepted Jesus, they have received him into their life, is that death has no power over those believers. And in Revelation, it's tied in to the very end of time. Now, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this morning, but trust me when I say Revelation chapter 17, 18, and 19 become the end of the world as far as the enemies of God. You can go read it by yourself on your own time. You can go back and listen to the last few weeks of sermons that I preached through it. But there was a city and a government and a world power known as Babylon that falls. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 19, God's enemies gather together in a place called Armageddon. And when he returns, he destroys his enemies, and he's about to set up heaven, the eternal kingdom, in Revelation chapter 21. But in Revelation chapter 20, there's a temporary place called the millennial kingdom, and it is here where God is going to show there's one more enemy that has not yet been defeated, and that is the enemy of death. Do you know that the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse 26, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Now, folks, I want to tell you this morning, we will all be glad when there is no longer such a thing as death. Think about how horrible death is. Think about how tragic sometimes death is. Think about how hopeless death is. In fact, death has been haunting you and I since the beginning of time. Death has shattered so many of your dreams. Death has hollowed our hearts. Death has turned the closest of our loved ones into distant memories. Death has ripped our children from us, leaving us in a puddle of tears. Death has shocked us with its often premature victory. Death has robbed us of allowing our children to know their grandparents. Death has separated marriage partners and filled our lives with loneliness. Death has hurt our wills, crushed our hopes, and confused our faith. But I've got good news for you this morning. I'm here to tell you that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, one day death will be defeated forever and ever. And in your life, more personally, I'm not just talking about the world today, I'm talking about you. I'm telling you that right here and right now, the prospect of death can be defeated in your life through the Lord Jesus Christ. I am telling you right here and right now that if you put your faith in the only Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of the world, if you will receive Him into your life, when you face that awful thing called death, here's the reality. The reality is when you draw your last breath on this earth, you will immediately draw your first breath in heaven. And you can know that you will be in heaven forever. You will know that death has been crushed in your life. And you will know that when it comes time to die, you won't really die. You will just be transferred to heaven to live with God forever. Don't you want to know that today? So let me share with you from these verses and from many other in the scriptures, two truths about death that everybody needs to know. Number one, death is a real enemy. Death is a real enemy. From start to finish of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3, particularly to Revelation chapter 20, death is a prominent feature in the Word of God. The fact is, you today have a 100% chance of dying. I mean, statistics have come in this morning. One out of one people in the world are going to die, right? Everybody's going to die. You know that. We don't like to think about it. There's a whole lot of young people, young families, young men and women in this room today. We don't think about it every day. But the fact of the matter is, you're going to die. And here's the question. Not are you going to die? The real question is, are you prepared to die? Now, the Bible paints the picture of death in three ways, real quick. Number one, there is what we call spiritual death. Now, fundamentally, the word death in the Bible just means separation. To be separated from God in death means you do not have a relationship with Him. In fact, it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 2. Listen to this. Genesis 2:15 says, "Then the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden. And the Lord God commanded the man and said, 'Of every tree of the Garden of Eden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat.'" Watch this. "For in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die." Now, if you've ever read the Bible before, let me be assured of this. Adam and Eve did not physically die that day. In fact, they died hundreds of years later. But I will tell you, there was a death that took place that day that your eyes could not see, and it is spiritual death. Every single person in the world is separated from God because of their sin. Isaiah 59:2, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you." Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "The wages of sin is what? Death, separation from God." And so we learn that because of our sinful nature, the Lord Jesus and us are separated. In fact, God looks at our lives and weighs out our lives and sees that we've come up short. Have you ever read Daniel chapter number 5? In Daniel chapter number 5, the king of Persia invades the king of Babylon. And that night, before Babylon falls, guess what happens? God shows up at a party, and His hand shows up and writes some handwriting on the wall. You ever heard the phrase, "That's the handwriting on the wall"? That's from Daniel chapter number 5. And when God wrote on the wall, Daniel chapter 5, this is what He said. "Weighed, weighed, wanting." What is He saying? He's saying, God has weighed you. God sees you. God knows you. And He's experienced everything in your life with you. He knows you. And when He weighs you against His perfection, we all come up short. So there is a spiritual death. Number two, there is a physical death. Now, we all know that. Hebrews 9:27 guarantees us that there is a physical death. The Bible says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment." So here's what life is, folks. Life is your God-given opportunity to make sure you're ready to die. God says, "One day, I've got an appointment set." You likely don't know it. I don't know it. We all have one. God has set that appointment up. As soon as that appointment is over, we are going to go to judgment. So friend, one day you're going to breathe your last breath. Think about it. One day you're going to give your last hug. One day you're going to say your last word. One day you're going to post your last Facebook story. One day you're going to send your last text. One day you're going to eat the last meal. Hopefully it's Chipotle. One day you're going to savor your last kiss, sleep your last night, and hear I love you for the last time. It's coming. Spiritual death leads us to physical death. The only reason anybody ever dies is because we've been separated from God because of our sin. But the sad reality is this, that leads ultimately, and listen very carefully, to the eternal death. That is exactly what this verse is talking about. Look at it again. Blessed and holy is he who has part of the first resurrection over such, watch this, the second death has no power. What in the world is the second death? Meaning there is a death after you die. Now let me read what the second death is. In Revelation chapter number 20 and verse number 14, it says, death was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Revelation chapter 21 verse 8 says this, that people who have not believed in Jesus, people that have lived in sin, watch this, will be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So we are died. We have died. We are separated from God. We will physically one day die, but then ultimately there is an eternal death and separation from God. And here's what everybody needs to know. This enemy is real. Please listen to me today. He is your enemy. He's not just your friend's enemy. He's not your husband's enemy. He is your enemy. Every single person in this room has to face death. But let me give you the second truth, and I've been waiting all day to share this with you. Not only is death a real enemy, but please hear me. Death is a defeated enemy. Amen. Folks, one day, death will be no more. Death is a loser because of Jesus Christ. In fact, 1 Corinthians says this, the Lord is our victory. Death, where is your sting? Where is your power? It's gone. How? Through Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you this morning that death is a loser, Jesus is a winner, and you can choose sides today. I am either going to face death unprepared, unsure, uncertain, filled with guilt, filled with sin, forever separated from God, or I'm going to accept and embrace what Jesus Christ did for me, and death will lose its hard grip on my life. Let me show you what I mean by this. Number one, I want you to see there are people who will experience this victory. Notice in the text here, it says this, but it says in verse 6, blessed and holy is he who has part of the first resurrection. Now, let's talk about that. What is the first resurrection? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, it says this, now Christ is risen from the dead, and he is the first fruits of all those who have died. What is the first resurrection? The first resurrection started with Jesus. He rose from the dead. And then there's an event that we know in the Bible called the rapture. Guess what happens at the rapture? At the rapture, everybody who's alive in the church at that time is going to be resurrected. And then we come to this passage. This passage says that there's a group of believers that lived through the millennium, and there's a group of people who were martyred for their faith. And guess what? They participated in the first resurrection. What am I saying today? I am saying to you that we, you, I, people, real people, get to participate in the first resurrection because we live in Jesus and Jesus is the first resurrection. Not only do we see the people for the victory, the second thing I want you to see is the reason for the victory. What is the reason that you and I can face death? What is the reason that you and I can know we have eternal life? I'm asking you today, what is at the core of this belief that I'm preaching about? What is this core of what some people would call preacher talk or Bible talk? What is at the core? I want to tell you exactly what is at the core. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That is what is at the core. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 says this, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture. We just celebrated that Friday night, right? It's called Good Friday. Somebody asked me the other day, how can we call it Good Friday when Jesus died? It's good not for them, but for us. It was horrible for Jesus. It was the end of his life, but for us, it was the payment for our sins. Folks, do you realize that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ took our place, took our sin in his body? He shed his blood for our sins to give us forgiveness, to take all of our sins away. And not only did Jesus Christ die for our sins and he was buried, the Bible says 3 days later he rose from the dead. Now, folks, I am not talking about fiction. I'm not talking about a cartoon. I'm not talking about some film or cinema. I'm talking about reality. I am telling you that Jesus Christ is the only religious historical figure that claimed and proved he rose from the dead. Every other religion in the world will lead you to a tomb, and inside that tomb are the bones of dead men. Why? Because they were just men. But I'm here to tell you, I was just there 2 weeks ago, friend. I am here to tell you that the tomb of Jesus Christ is not famous because of the bones that are in it, but because of the person that is no longer in it. Folks, I stood right there 2 weeks ago, right outside of the place where Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and I walked inside of that tomb, and I can verify there is no body there. There is no person there. What you find is this, the same empty tomb that Mary and Mary found, the same empty tomb that John and Peter found, is the tomb that today is still empty because Jesus Christ is alive forevermore. Friend, how can you have eternal life? It's really simple. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And what are the results of this resurrection? You can have eternal life as well. Now let me ask you very plainly, do you right now in your seat as you are sitting here have the absolute assurance and confidence in your life that when you die, you're going to heaven? I'm not asking you, do you go to church? I'm not asking you if you're a pretty good dude. I'm not asking you if your grandmama was a preacher. I'm asking you, do you in your heart right now know that you have eternal life? Let me assure you today, there's only one way to know that you have eternal life. It is through Jesus Christ. And you say, how in the world do I get Jesus Christ? It's very simple. You must accept that you are a sinner. You must accept that you cannot get to heaven on your own. You must accept that Jesus Christ is God. You must accept that he lived a sinless, perfect life. You must accept that he died on a cross, shed his blood, and rose again the third day. And you must accept that he is the only way you can be saved. Number two, you must believe it. You must believe it in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. And number three, you must confess it. The Bible says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm inviting you in just a moment. Would you do that today? If you have never accepted Jesus into your life, today is the day. Open up your heart like the front door of your house. Welcome Jesus into your life today. About 1 year ago this week, a dear friend of mine named Matt lost one of his three children. And I'm looking at some people in this room. You've lost children too. Jaden, his 19-year-old son, was at college. He was working on the grounds crew at a Christian college outside of the campus. And a man drinking and driving swerved off the road, hit the curb, and crushed Jaden on the side of the road. He was gone before they ever got to the hospital. I drove to Milton that weekend to go to the funeral. It was a sad and somber and tragic event filled with college students, family, missionaries, pastors from all over the world. His dad is a faithful missionary in Honduras. Just one of the most tragic things I've ever seen. But I will tell you this. His own father spoke at the funeral. I want you to imagine what it would be like to stand up and speak and give words and preach the Bible. The very first thing that Matt did when he spoke that afternoon was he shared about how he was forgiving this guy. I believe his name was Oscar. And I'll never forget this. He looked right into the camera on live stream and spoke directly to the man who was drinking and driving and was the cause of his son's death. And he looked right at him and he said, "I forgive you." He looked right at him and offered him the same salvation that his son Jaden knew and that was holding their family together. And I watched those brokenhearted people hug each other standing around that open casket. I watched the brokenness as they closed the lid. But I'm here to tell you, I watched with amazement as this father spoke of the certainty of seeing my precious boy again. Here's the sad reality about so many people in this world, maybe people in this room. All you've got is this life. You have no certainty. You have no hope. You have no peace. You have absolutely no assurance. You walk through this life and you're thinking, man, I don't want the wrong piece of news to come. I don't have something happen to me. Like, I lost this person. You're so filled with emptiness and you just don't know. Friend, I'm here to tell you, there is a way to know where you will be, and there is a way to know that those people that you knew that were Christians, that you'll be with them forever, and it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one person that can give you that kind of peace and joy and hope when it all is over, and it is Jesus. And I want to encourage you today, right now, if you have never opened up your heart and asked Jesus to be your Savior, I'm going to invite you to do that literally right now. Would you right now bow your heads with me just for a moment? Just listen if you can. The Bible was clear. I said it in the message. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The Bible is very clear. If you accept Jesus for who he is, accept yourself for who you are, believe on him, and call on his name. Ask him to be your Savior. He will save you. He will today. Look, friend, I'm telling you right now, you can today know your sins are forgiven, not because of some preacher, or not because of some religious experience, or not because you came to church on Easter, but because you accepted the only person in the universe that can give you eternal life, and that's Jesus. So right here and right now today, would you be willing to call on Jesus? I'm going to let you have an opportunity to do it right there in your seat where you are. Call on him. Ask him. Believe in him right now. Now, I'm going to give you a prayer that you can pray. My prayer doesn't save you, but it would reflect something that you could say to God. You can use your own words. You can speak out loud. You can speak in your heart. It doesn't matter. God knows it all. He sees it all. He hears it all. But he wants you to be saved today. And right there where you're seated, would you take him at his word? Would you believe on him? Would you ask him right now to be your Lord and your Savior? If you will, just right now where you're seated, pray the prayer, something like this. Go ahead and do it. Dear God, just do it right now. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Just like you're talking to God, friend, just talk to him. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. But today I believe in Jesus. I believe he died, and I believe he rose again. Today, I accept him as my only Lord and Savior. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. Help me to never be ashamed of you. I want to give you an assurance today that if you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, I want to give you a promise from the Bible. God saved you. He just forgave you. He just cleansed your heart. He just made you his child forever. And he just guaranteed that you're going to be in heaven with him forever. Now I want to be the first person to welcome you and encourage you in your faith. Is there anybody here today who would say, preacher, I just want you to know, I just prayed that prayer. I meant it. I'm so glad that I did. I just accepted Jesus into my life. And I'm so glad that I did. If that's you, would you just let me know who you are? There's not really anybody looking around, just me. You say, preacher, I just prayed that prayer. I meant it. I'm glad I did. Would you just let me know who you are by slipping up your hand? Would you do that? You say, preacher, I just prayed that prayer. I meant it. I'm so glad that I did. Just lift your hand right up, and I'll just pray with you. Good. God bless you. Amen. That's great. Who else? Preacher, I did. I prayed that prayer. God bless you, sir. Amen. Thank you. Who else? Preacher, I prayed the prayer. I meant it. I'm so glad that I did. Just lift your hand right up that I could see it, and I'll be glad to pray for you. We'll be glad to help you. Good. Praise the Lord. That is so great. Amen. Anybody else? Preacher, I prayed the prayer. I meant it. I'm glad I did. I just asked you. Good. Amen. I see you there. Good. I see you there, young lady. Thank you. Anybody else? Preacher, prayed the prayer. Meant it. Glad that I did. Good. And bless your heart, too. Who else? So great to see. Preacher, I prayed that prayer. I meant it. I am so glad that I did. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Good. And praise be to God for that. Now, I want y'all to look this way real quick. Before we stand and sing, here's what I want to ask you to do. Several of you raised your hand and said, yep, prayed that prayer a minute, glad I did. Here's what I want to ask you to do for me, if you will. If you would just take that card, okay, this card, it's right there in the seat back in front of you, okay? Take that card, put your name, put your number, and there's a word on here that says salvation. If you'll just put an X on that box or mark that box for me, even if you didn't raise your hand. I know sometimes it's embarrassing to be in a crowd and not know how to respond. That's okay. Even if you didn't, just take that card, write your name, write your number, mark the box salvation. Here's what I want you to do. Do that while we're singing, okay? When we're done singing, we got some friends back here in the back at the Next Steps booth. Just take this card to them. They have a gift for you. We've got a Bible for you. We've got some ways that we can help you in your faith. Please do that for us. Let us know. That's right. That's good. Would you do that? Would you grab one of those and write that down while we sing? We rejoice with you today. And we want to say to all of you that are guests today, come on back to River City. We'll be glad to have you back. And I hope you found it to be warm and friendly and encouraging. And we do this every Sunday. Okay, so let's all stand now. If you'll fill these out for me, would you do that? Fill those out for me while we sing, and then we'll give some instructions when we're done. Let's sing together.